This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
I love it. I need it.
Couldn't live without it.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons 3 till 6 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on this Wednesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. We're shortly after we got off the air last night. The captain of the Duke basketball team finally made a decision about his future. On social media, Jeremy Roach announced he will declare for the NBA draft and he will enter his name into the transfer portal. Huh? Essentially, what he said was, I'm going to try to make the draft, but if I get feedback through the process that suggests I'm not going to get picked, I'll return to college and it won't be at Duke. My time in Durham is finished. I will be playing basketball somewhere else. It was time for this. It was time for Duke. It was time for Jeremy Roach. It's time to turn the page. Because the reality was, he's not going to start on next year's team. That team's going to be, perhaps, preseason number one. They are the betting favorites to win the championship a year from now.
Send me that cash out, family.
Caleb Foster could be a first-round draft pick. Tyrese Proctor, the same way. Both those guys are back in the backcourt. You think Caleb Foster wants to stay on the bench? Jeremy Roach was never considered a first-round draft pick, and this year probably won't be a draft pick altogether. It's the reason why he came back to Duke last year. So this could be as simple as Jeremy Roach, like many of the transfers out there, wanting to go to a place where he will play. And the good news for Jeremy is this. 90% of the college programs would welcome him with open arms. He would start on 90% of college teams, maybe more, across the country. Just look at his resume. Pick a place that wouldn't want his level of experience and the amount of scoring he did at a program like Duke. Of course they would want that. There is an NIL component to this as well. Sure, Duke has a lot of NIL. But that doesn't mean Duke wants to spend all that NIL money to keep Jeremy Roach around. You got to remember, Duke's got 6 incoming freshmen. Got to keep those guys happy. And Proctor. And Foster. And those freshmen include 2 top 5 draft picks a year from now. The best high school prospect in 5 years we've seen in Cooper Flagg. Since Zion. Malawak, a top 5 pick from the Senegal. So that's where the NIL money's going. So Duke isn't going to break the bank to keep him from an NIL perspective. And secondly, there are so many other places that would break the bank to bring in Jeremy. A starting guard from a Final Four team, an ACC championship team, and an Elite Eight team in the last few years? Sign us up. He averaged close to what, 15 points a game this year in the ACC with all that talent on Duke's roster? Somebody's going to offer him a lot of NIL money to join their program. The big question is, where's that going to be? In terms of destinations, 2 places stand out. This isn't based on any information. This is speculative based on his background. We see coaches, we've seen players commonly jump from one school and conference to another. Joe Girard going from Syracuse to the Clemson Tigers. Jalen Withers from Louisville to North Carolina. Would he stay in the ACC? That's a big question. Would he stay in the ACC? He is from the state of Virginia. Virginia basketball is a championship program.
It's Virginia.
That's right, Steve Forbes. And when you watch the way Virginia plays and how Jeremy Roach is great at creating his shot at the end of shot clocks and playmaking that type of way. I see a lot of Kihei Clark and Jeremy Roach's game. That could be a fit. Going back to his home state, playing in the ACC, playing for a great coach, a championship-level program. If you're looking at ACC schools he could end up at, you start there. Another thought was Louisville if Nolan Smith were still there, but since he's not, maybe not. The other one that immediately triggered in my mind was Georgetown. They're looking to make a splash year two under Ed Cooley. They had a tough year in year one. You want to add credibility to what you're doing? Bring Jeremy Roach in. A name for a name program that's trying to get things off the ground with the new coach. And a proven coach, given all that Ed Cooley did at Providence. So those places make a lot of sense. Meanwhile, Duke now has three roster spots they can fill through the transfer portal. Going to be a desired place for a lot of people in the portal to end up in Durham, which means it's going to be a fascinating few weeks to figure out where Roach ends up and also who ends up in Durham on this Duke team that should be one of college basketball's best. But it was time for Duke, and it was time for Jeremy Roach to move on. On X at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show. And he won a lunch bet off me last night thanks to Zion Williamson getting hurt.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better knowing that?
I don't know if that really...
Zion tied the game with 3 minutes to go, and the only reason that you won this bet is because Zion got hurt. That's the reason the Lakers won that game.
I don't think that's the reason. I mean, it was down to the wire, and you know, Lakers have the king on there.
Nobody was stopping Zion. He had 40 points at that
run game.
So that was one of the games last night. The other game represented an end of an era. Golden State blown out by Sacramento. The biggest loss that Golden State's had to their neighbors on the Bay in 17, make it 18 years since 2006. And it's a reminder, unfortunately in sports, there are a lot more bad endings than there are happy ones. Joe Namath finishing his career with the Rams, Johnny Unitas with the Chargers, Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals, the end of Muhammad Ali's career, the Jerome Bettis finish while you're on top, John Elway finish while you're on top inning endings, they are a far less common deal than it ending badly. And that's what last night was. We're not going to see Steph, Clay, and Draymond share a court together again. That trio's not returning to San Francisco next year. Steph will be back, but I don't know about Clay or Draymond. Clay's a free agent. He probably wants more than Golden State's willing to give him. And if Golden State wants to get younger and they're letting go of Clay Thompson, that might be an admission that they're not contenders anymore. They were 10th, after all, in the Western Conference standings. Draymond could be a trade piece to get younger if that, in fact, is Golden State's goal. This also could be the end of Chris Paul's career. Maybe the greatest athlete to come from Winston-Salem. He's 38 years old, turns 39 in a few weeks. It'll either be this year or next year. He's owed $30 million next year, but that's non-guaranteed money. Why would Golden State want to pay $30 million to Chris Paul if they don't have to? He's no longer a real factor, even the way that he was a few years ago in that Phoenix Suns NBA Finals team, the only finals he ever played in, losing to Milwaukee. But history will remember both fondly, both the Warriors and CP3. Golden State, one of the three or four greatest dynasties ever. The only ones I'll for sure put in front of them are the 96 Bulls, the Celtics of the 60s, and probably the Lakers with Magic and Kareem. You put them right there with Kobe and Shaq in the early 2000s. The greatest dynasties ever. And Chris Paul, one of the greatest players to never win a championship, with Charles Barkley and Karl Malone and many others that go onto that list. Also, one of the greatest point guards ever. Last night was the end of an era we watched with Golden State's loss to Sacramento. And as it often is, as it often does, it ended ugly.
This is it. Ready?
All right, hold on.
All right, do it. Do it.
All right, listen up.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
Scott Fowler, the decorated columnist from the Charlotte Observer, joins us now. We'll get to the Panthers in a bit. I've admired you for a long time, Scott, because you're one of those that's not afraid at all to think outside the box or go against the grain with your opinions. And with the Charlotte Hornets season ending this week, you suggested that Charlotte should seriously consider hiring Dawn Staley, who last week won another national championship at South Carolina. For those who might not have read the column at charlotteobserver.com, why do you think Dawn is capable of making that type of leap?
To me, Dawn Staley has it all. And although, you know, she probably shouldn't take a Charlotte Hornets job if offered, it's not exactly probably what she wants to do. But I do wish they would make a hard run at her, because she's tough, she's smart, she's an incredible closer, and I don't mean just as a recruiter, but I mean her teams win games in the closing minutes. She was like that as a player. She's got just the right, I think, she's got some softness to her, enough that she'll get you care about her if you're playing for her, but she's got this real steeliness that I think would also translate well to the NBA. And it's just a matter of time, Josh, until there is a female coach in the NBA. I think that's a place. I mean, the Hornets have probably the best one in the country in their backyard. And while they are interviewing Lindsey Harding, the former Duke star who's now coaching in the G League, I don't know that they have made any pursuit of Dawn Staley, and I do wish that would change.
Yeah, you've been around for a while. You've seen a number of these coaching changes with Charlotte, but off the top of my head, given the new ownership, given Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball both being in place as young stars that you can get behind, and a new GM as well, kind of seeing that there's a complete reset there, when's the last time you remember the Hornets' job being as appealing as it seems to be right now?
Well, it's pretty appealing right now, you're right.
And a number one draft pick, remain. Maybe even a number one draft pick, too.
A high pick, for sure. I mean, they won't be worse than, I don't think, sixth or seventh, and they will have some little bit of odds of moving up into that top three. So, you're right. It's in a better position now than there have been some years where they've changed over people, and you thought to yourself, well, I mean, like early when Alan Bristow and Dave Cowens and those guys were succeeding each other in the 90s, they were winning 50 games a year. People forget that, but it was just a matter of would they ever make the Eastern Conference Finals, but they made the playoffs like every year back in the Zoe, LJ, Glenn Rice, Jamal Mashburn days in the 90s, and that was a long time ago now, so whoever the coach is, and I think what they'll end up doing is getting a top NBA assistant, because that's normally how these things go, right? So that's probably just in the way in the NFL they normally hire an offensive coordinator. That's usually what happens in the NBA too. But whoever it is, they'll inherit some potential, as you mentioned, but if LaMelo Ball can't stay healthy, like we've seen the last 2 years, it's a lot of unrealized potential.
Scott Fowler with us here from the Charlotte Observer. You had another sports legend on your podcast, which is fitting because of the title when you talk about North Carolina sports legends, Musa Muhammad, who was inducted into the Panthers Hall of Honor this past year. When you think about unappreciated stars or stars that might be a bit underrated, Musin for me is very high up on the list in North Carolina, because it almost seemed like when he went in with Peppers, it almost was like, and there's Musa Muhammad. And then you look at the numbers and it's like, of course he's going up. But when you play with Steve Smith on the other side of you, and he might be the most beloved player in the history of the Panthers franchise, it can be easy for you to fall into the shadow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think you described it well there. Moose was a tremendous player for this team, and one of the top 10 players, I would say, in Panthers history. But because his career, much of it did happen to occur right during the ascension of Steve Smith. I mean, If you remember, Josh, in 2004, Steve Smith gets hurt in the very first game of the year against Green Bay. All right. Green Bay, and the season kind of goes to pot there a little bit, but Musin does, and he becomes the number one receiver and leads the NFL in touchdowns. He scores 16 times as a receiver and just had incredible fantasy football-type numbers that anyone would kill for, really. And that was because Steve Smith was, he was out, and Musin was the number one receiver that year. He could have done that in a lot of places, but here he was valuable for many other reasons besides catching the ball. In fact, the best blocking wide receiver they ever had, another underappreciated skill.
You can find that conversation with Musin Muhammad on Scott Fowler's podcast. Scott Fowler joining us here on WSJS. Getting to the Panthers, the draft's 8 days away. Somehow that's possible. What's the best case scenario for Carolina at 33 and 39?
Well, okay, I'll give you my best case scenario. First of all, trade down on 33. That pick often increases in value almost overnight because all these teams look around and say, hey, look who didn't get drafted in the first round. What if we traded up to the first pick of the second round? That becomes a valuable choice, and I think most valuable, really, if you trade back and give yourself another couple of throws at the dartboard. Maybe not too far, but go down, 10 spots in the second round and pick up whatever, a third or a fourth. It'd be great to have another pick. And then around, wherever they do, let's say they do end up picking two players on that Friday, one's got to be a wide receiver. And your best case scenario we just talked about, Musin Muhammad was a second round pick, number 43 overall, close to 30 years ago now. You can find a jewel, a diamond like that, that's going to make your Hall of Honor in 10 years. And it is possible. I mean, it's obviously possible. They've done it a few times. Steve Smith was a third round pick. That's the best case scenario. You get one really good starter and you trade down and get two other serviceable players. That would be what I would hope for.
Last thing for you, Scott Fowler joining us here. It's good to chat with people that are in the city, the people that are plugged in as you are with the Panthers, that know several people in the building. The Panthers have been in the building now the last couple of weeks. Dave Canales has been on the job for more than a couple of months now. Dan Morgan as well. What are some of the interesting things you've heard this offseason about how things are operating in that building and the vibe within it?
Well, it's a young vibe for sure. I mean, Canales acts young, is young, relates well with players. Frank Reich did too, but Frank Reich was very much, Frank Reich and I are close to the same age. I mean, those players are all young enough to be his kids or, maybe in some cases even his grandkids. So Dave Canales, it's a different vibe, very energetic. I think they're enjoying each other. I think they're going to run the ball and not just pay lip service to running the ball, because they just say that over and over. And the money they spend on the offensive line, they daggum better run the ball and protect Bryce Young. We're very sold on the whole Bryce Young idea, and really, that's what's going to determine Dave Canales' future here more than anything else. Can he get Bryce Young to the spot that they all wanted, about this time last year when everyone was so excited when Bryce Young was about to be the pick? Can they get him back into that sort of mold where they're, and that's a lot of that is how well they do on weaponry. And I do like some of the moves they've made. Others I would say are a little bit questionable, but that's the way every year is with free agency. So, this time of year I'm always sort of optimistic. I think that's the best way to be, because why not? And I am a little optimistic right now about what's going on in that building.
Scott Fowler, it's good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for doing this. I look forward to hearing your voice with Musin Muhammad on the Sports Legends of North Carolina podcast that you do, and it's such a great listen. CharlotteObserver.com, you could read his work as well. We'll talk to you sometime soon.
Thanks so much, Josh. Always enjoy being on.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Let's go, Nat.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color.
One of the best songs that's been written over the last 20, 25 years. Jamie Johnson, In Color. If you'd like to see Jamie Johnson in person, certainly in color, he's going to be at Greensboro White Oak Amphitheater next month. Or pardon me, this is going to be in July, July 30th. If you'd like to go see him, 336-777-1600. The first couple to call in right now get a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson in Greensboro at White Oak Amphitheater. Again, the number, 336-777-1600. All you have to do is call in and tell us something good, because it's time for Weekly Positivity. Oh. Friends call me Nova, as in Casanova. Weekly Positivity, brought to you by Biscuit King. Biscuit King, in Lexington, in High Point. Pay them a visit. Make it tomorrow morning. Make it for breakfast. Maybe even an early lunch. Biscuit King sponsoring this
Biscuits.
Segment. WD, I'll get us started, because the Orioles are tied in the ninth inning with the Twins. That's not necessarily good, but guess who just stepped on the mound?
Oh, no.
Craig Kimbrell just entered the game to pitch the ninth.
Wow.
Let me make sure I get my form right. I'm looking at him right now. Like, how high up do I guess it's more like, gotta crouch.
Gotta crouch.
Yeah, and I got both arms up. Oh, like he does, like, right now. He gets so low.
He does.
Yeah. So, that's for you, Darren Vaught. Craig Kimbrell in the game. Hopefully, the Orioles are going to walk off. See, what you're doing is like a Spider-Man pose. See, this is where we encourage people to watch on YouTube, Twitch, and X. You got your Masters gear on that John Dell gave you this week.
Yes, I do.
That's good. See, you're going to the side there. Yours is better than mine. I'll admit it, but we'll get better as the season goes on.
Biscuits.
Biscuits.
For breakfast.
Let's go to Daniel in Winston-Salem. Hi, Daniel.
Hello there.
Tell me something good.
My feet hit the ground this morning whenever I woke up.
Wow.
That's great.
That's good. Where are you at? You're in Winston-Salem right now. Where are you driving to?
Yes, sir. I just got off of work and driving to go pick my daughter up from school.
That's good. Every time, see, I'm not a parent, but I imagine when I am one, I'd be the dad every day that asks how was school and try to get something out of them, trying to see if they could tell me what they learned. Is that difficult? Is that hard to do? Are you that dad that's trying to pry information out of your kids, see what they learned?
I do, but the answer I get is, can we stop at McDonald's?
Wow. And what is usually the answer to that?
We have food at home.
Love that. That's a good parent right there. That's Daniel in Winston-Salem.
Well, maybe I want McDonald's.
WD, you're a child. We have food at home. Tell me something good with you, WD.
Well, for starters, I did watch American Pie 2 last night, so that was good. I enjoyed that. I am really enjoying wearing my Masters shirt today. You kind of stole my thunder on that one a little bit. It fits really well. Also, for dinner yesterday, I got word that there was 25% off on wraps from Whole Foods.
Wow.
And so after I went to the gym yesterday after the show, I went and I got me a Caesar chicken wrap, and it was delicious.
Wow. That's good.
But not as good as biscuits.
Biscuits. Jennifer is also in Winston-Salem. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Josh. How are you today?
Let me think about that. I'm doing good. What's going
good.
On? What's going on with you? Tell me something good.
Well, I was involved in a car accident on March 28th. I was stopped at a light and got rear-ended at a very high rate of speed. And I've been dealing with the person who hit me's adjuster, and it's just been a mess. And I just found out today that everything has been approved, and my car is finally going to get fixed, and they're going to take care of my medical bills.
Wow.
So I am a very happy person today.
That's good. So are they going to fix your car, or was the car totaled?
No, the car wasn't totaled, unfortunately. It's in the shop right now. I just got dropped off today, and I finally got a rental car. And at this point, there is a lot of damage, but I was able to. The good thing that I can tell you is that do your own research when you have an accident, because the cop thought that day that it was very clear cut. And I got a video from the sheets on Peters Creek Parkway that showed exactly what happened. The entire accident was on their video. And I was able to get that video, and that's how I got this taken care of. So make sure when you have an accident, you do your own research.
Shout out the Sheets. Shout out to them. Jennifer.
Yes, Tim. Yeah,
that's
Tim
it.
Tim at Sheets. He's the manager. He is amazing.
Tim at Sheets. Shout out to you. He sounds good.
Yeah, Tim.
Jennifer, yeah. Enjoy the concert, and thank you so much for the call.
Thank you so much.
There you go. There goes Jennifer in Winston-Salem. Did the Orioles get the last out there?
I think they did.
If so, let me think of an adjective to describe that. I'd probably say that's good.
Wow. Craig Kimbrel.
Gosh, man. It does appear he got out of the knife. I just don't know how. So I rewinded it a little bit. Oh, it's one
drilled
of those sharply hit balls to first, yeah.
But gloved?
12 pitches. Does that mean he comes back out for the 10th?
Probably. I would like to think so.
Oh, actually, there's not going to be a 10th because the Orioles are going to walk it off. And that's good.
I bet they won't do that now that you said that.
That's been Weekly Positivity. Now, why'd you have to say that last part in... This is a positive segment. We think positive thoughts.
That is positive to me. Me getting putters from our agreement, that's pretty positive too.
The NBA had big news today. One of their reserves, Jonte Porter, maybe sent me that Cash App a little bit too much.
Send that Cash App, fam.
Or at least in a way he's not supposed to, because he's been banned from the NBA. Why? Well, it's been revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors. He limited his participation in a game knowing that a bettor had under on his stats that night, his prop bets. And he bet on NBA games even against his team while playing in the G League. So he was in the Raptors G League, and he was betting against the Toronto Raptors. So he's been banned from the sport, as he should. The way that some are taking this, I think, is missing the point. Some, especially in North Carolina, where sports betting just became legal a month ago, are using this, wielding this, as an argument against sports betting. See, this is going to affect the integrity of the sport. Can't have this. This type of stuff wasn't happening before. Now we got sports betting, and it's becoming more popular and legalized that It's affecting the legitimacy of games. That's the argument that some are making. I would actually make a counter argument against that and say this argues the exact opposite. That this is an argument for the regulation of sports betting because, as we knew before sports betting became legal in North Carolina, people still did it illegally. Sports betting was still happening and has been happening since the beginning of sport, which also means things like this have been possible for a very, very, very long time and probably has happened undetected. What the regulation of sports betting has done has made it very easy to get the information of all the players and makes it a lot easier to track when these types of things happen in a way that it was not before when everything was done under the table. So my argument is that this type of stuff has happened before and gone undetected in a way that it would not now because of how regulated it is. And when you talk to people within sports betting who operate sports betting, they will tell you that it's not hard to figure out when sketchy things are happening, and it's a lot easier to get to the bottom of stuff like this or the Alabama baseball thing from last year. It's a lot easier to get to the bottom of it now than it would have been when it wasn't quite as regulated.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to take herbal body baths to keep his skin supple and youthful looking. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Hayes Permar of Sports Channel 8 with us now. This might be the first time Hayes has pitched his own theme for Skips or Plays with Hayes, and it's a good one, but it requires some backstory. Over the weekend, CBS aired a live concert of Billy Joel performing at Madison Square Garden. And here's a good indicator that it was live. Billy was finishing up Piano Man right around 11 o'clock when this happened on CBS affiliates across the country.
Live from CBS 4, this is what? Your news now.
Did Billy Joel get whacked?
They cut
this
off
the Sopranos?
They cut off Piano Man right around the 11 o'clock news. Come on, Permar, you and I, we saw Billy Joel in Winston-Salem a few years back. Were you watching this?
I tuned in to a little bit of it. When I tuned in, he was standing at the front of the stage singing a microphone, not playing a piano, and I was like, why do I want to see this? Why do I ever want to see Billy Joel standing up? Whoever paid to see Billy Joel stand and deliver? Not me. So I tuned back out. I can't remember what I was watching. But obviously then I saw what had happened and why all the people were so mad. So
this is
I kind of saw it.
It's an unforgivable sin. You know, it is the television version of the Gary Hahn drop where
let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
Awkwardness ensued, and there's your transition to get into the
news.
He's
a New York guy. We saw the Tony Soprano. The last time something this watched went to straight black for several seconds was like Tony Soprano getting whacked. I was afraid maybe Billy Joel set it up to like go down. Also, quick shout out, and I know a few people in your audience will hear this. Most will disagree with me, but the ones who agree with me will love me for life. The true band of Madison Square Garden is not Billy Joel. It's Phish. Phish owns Madison Square Garden more than Billy Joel does. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You can put up your numbers, but efficiency-wise, Phish crushes it in Madison Square Garden.
So it's an unforgivable sin. Like cutting off Garth Brooks Friends in Low Places, it'd be like cutting off Journey, to use the Sopranos ending as a metric. Cutting off Don't Stop Believin', not great. I hope I didn't rain on your parade or steal any of your thunder there, WD, because Hayes thought it'd be fun to pull songs that it would be unforgivable for CBS to cut away during going into the 11 o'clock news. So let's play Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like, oh, six, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
WD, you've been called upon by Hayes Permar, by myself, and we'll see what you pull. What do you have, Hayes?
R.I.P. Smash Mouth.
There it is. Yeah, R.I.P. Smash Mouth.
Also, real quick, just because he came up in the song, was last night the embodiment of, like, what Zion Williamson's career is going to be? He looked like the most electric, difference-making player on the floor, and it looked like we were down to a steal-the-torch-from-LeBron moment where, like, Zion was going to dunk on somebody to win the game, and instead he got them, like, tied with a minute to go, and then we didn't even see an injury, and all of a sudden he's being whisked off to the back because he's, like, hurt. It's like, man, are we cursed to this is what Zion's going to be?
And anyway, now,
sorry to move, but I heard him during the intro, and I'm like,
not selling any of my Zion stock.
He could and should be one of the five most exciting players on an NBA court. And again, he showed every moment of it last time. He can go up against guys that block anybody else's shot, and he just moves and has feel in a way that you're like, this is incredible. And then all of a sudden he's gone because his knee hurts, and I weep.
Yes, WD.
And now he's already been ruled out for the playing game. On
shocker. I mean, you're not pulling yours. I saw they gave garbage to Ali LaForce and said, oh, it was soreness. And it's like, soreness?
No,
like,
the way
if he's
he walked
pulling
off,
himself out of a playoff game.
The way he walked off, you were like, we're not seeing him play basketball for 6 months. I'm glad. It's sad that his season's done. I'm glad that it's June and maybe those 6 months are before the start of the season. But if you saw that same move in February, you'd be like, all right, he's done for the season. Yeah. You just know it with him now. It's sad.
What is the first song that would be unforgivable to be cut off during a live broadcast?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama. Although,
might cause a riot depending on what part of the country this is happening in.
All right, but I'm giving this a play because it's not the, like, you know, Kid Rock bastardized version of this riff. But here's the thing. If you could only pick one song that is protected, like if Billy Joel said, in my contract, you owe me $100 million if you cut me off during this song, it would be Piano Man, right?
You're protecting Freebird over this?
I'm just saying, like, Sweet Home Alabama might be the more popular Lynyrd Skynyrd song, but Freebird is, like, known as, like, the song that you go into the bar and be like, play Freebird, so you can't then cut off Freebird.
I think you're probably right just because you close with Freebird. You don't close with Sweet Home Alabama. So you want to protect the songs at the end of the show.
No, but this is one of the, like, there's not many bands where they would have two as competing as this one would, but I'll give it a play regardless.
Hayes Permar.
What's next?
I feel like anytime you would interrupt Elton John, it would be a felony. But Tiny Dancer is probably one you just can't do it.
What's great about this song, there's such a great build-up to it, as you see in the movie Almost Famous. Have we made you watch Almost Famous yet?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
It's been on hold.
Like, could you imagine the long build-up and then it's on to the 11 o'clock news.
That plays well, specifically for that staging of it. You get the Blue Jean Babies, you get the seamstress for the bands, you get all those, and then you're like, da, 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 and like you're ready to burst out singing along. And they're like, and now they love
live news. From CBS4. This is your news now.
Yeah.
I like that.
As much as there may be more popular Elton John songs, I think we definitely hit on the one that, like, you couldn't cut that one off at that moment. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, because if you're doing the list, it's that. I mean, you could do Benny and the Jets. You could do your song, Rocket Man.
Or also, like, you know, I guess if he's playing in overseas, you wouldn't want to cut off, like, Candle in the Wind.
Oh,
he might catch some heat for that one for the BBC coming in. But that's a play.
Hayes Permar.
Okay, got one more.
So I wanted to have a little bit of a mix here. Let's get a little hip-hop in here, shall we?
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater
already.
You
can't do it,
it's so great. Give me the news drop.
But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
You read it live from CBS. This is live from New York.
The Ghost Rabbit,
I mean.
I wanted to hear the newscasters at the start of that. Oh, well, you know, that was a really good show, but a murder in downtown Greensboro.
Eminem's one that some newscaster could probably riff off the top. He'd be like, you better lose yourself in the news that right here on 4th Street, there's some way too smarmy news guy would actually transition well from Eminem. I'm trying to think what else.
Kenny Beck's like, there's a murder in downtown Greensboro. Eminem murdered this track, though.
I'm trying to think if there's any other Eminem song. Like, my name is Wicca Wicca Live from New York.
This is an Oscar-nominated movie that this is from.
It's this one.
Yeah. Good stuff, WD. Is this a play, though, from Hayes Permar?
Hayes Permar.
That's what I thought. So that's been Skips or Plays with Hayes Permar. The Carolina Hurricanes, they are betting favorites to win the Stanley. We know the series, even though the regular season isn't quite finished yet. The Hurricanes facing the New York Islanders. Permar, the Canes have the Islanders. It starts this weekend. How does that hit you that Carolina is the betting favorites to win the cup right now?
I like it. I mean, it's where they should be. They're playing the best hockey of anybody. I do feel like it's one of those. I believe in the first round is tough, not the jinx of President's Cup, you know, anything like that. But which obviously the Canes didn't win. But I feel like the first round might be one of the harder rounds. I know the Rangers, you know, may await in round two, or I don't know the exact path.
That's right.
But for some reason, it feels like we could either get tripped up in the first round or go to the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's my prediction. If you could bet on that, Canes not losing in the second or third round. Either we lose in the first round or we lose in the finals. I'm fine with being the favorites. But I do worry a little bit. I've talked with, like, season ticket holders. And, you know, we've talked about maybe showing some games here at the Rialto at our theater in Raleigh like we did for NC State. And there's like, you know, 5 years ago, you would have put the first Canes game on, or you would want to be at the first round, first home playoff game because it was a big deal. Now I hear season ticket holders be like, well, they sell the first round. Like, A, we expect to be in at least the second, if not the third or fourth. And B, if we lose in the first round, it's like, well, that's going to be a disappointment. And so I don't want to be there for that event. So the expectations are definitely high, but I'm okay with it. It feels like they made the move at the trade deadline with Getzel that they wanted to make. They've got health. They've got that extra oomph, that like turbo boost coming on the end of the year with Getzel. They've got depth with, like, it feels like a problem not knowing who to play with Kokiemi or Kuznetsov or whatever. But to me, that feels like a somebody who we bench that comes in filling in for an injury, and all of a sudden they're the hottest player in the playoffs. So, like, everything's lining up, but there's still a lot of luck, you know? So every reason to believe the Canes, like I said, if they get past the first round, I like them in the Stanley Cup Finals.
If there's a game 7 in the first series, or even maybe a game 5, it's on a weekday, I'd be down coming to the Rialto for a show if you'll have us.
It all depends on schedule. Obviously, we'll look at what the whole, you know, you never know, I guess. When a round opens, they tell you when all 7 games could be, but it's hard to plan a week or two out, and obviously we got other events. But, like, yeah, if it comes down to a game 7 and we have a night off, let's bring it.
Or second round, we'll figure out something maybe to get out to the Rialto one of these times. Hayes Permar, you're the best, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
I am the best. Thank you.